Shattering Myths is devoted to those who know that the world's media, political, religious, military, and economic institutions are the problem. They are not the solution. Our mission is to look behind the headlines, to know who is perpetrating the crimes that are destroying our world, and over the course of the next 15 years will continue to wreak havoc on our planet. As a result, our goal in the second hour is going to be to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, because its covenant provides the only reliable answer. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, and it's an important one, your soul is at stake, is 877-300-7645. I made a terrible mistake again last night. You could blame it on the lackluster Sunday night football game, but, you know, there was really nothing to watch. And I had come back from a long walk on the beach. It was a lovely evening here. And I tripped over 60 Minutes again, second week in a row. This time they devoted the first three quarters of the program to a puff piece. It's not very often that 60 Minutes does a puff piece. They're supposed to be investigative journalists, but no, all of that was set aside. This was a promotional piece for the NSA. It was horrible to watch. 60 Minutes presenting a propaganda piece for a spy agency, but nonetheless, that's what was broadcast. Some of the aspects of this presentation were particularly revolting. And the quote-unquote journalist for 60 Minutes seemed unwilling, unable to respond to any of what was being said. But throughout it, Edward Snowden was presented as the villain, as opposed to a man who gave Americans one of the greatest gifts ever provided to this nation. And the head of the NSA, a man in his spiffy four-star general uniform, said that he was opposed to providing amnesty agreement for Snowden, for the, because Snowden has millions of documents, and tens of thousands of those documents pertain to nation states, which he has not released. They pertain to Iran, to China, to Russia, and he has kept those documents secure. He's of the millions of documents that he seized. And so the rational thought would be, if you're so afraid of him exposing the nation in this regard, provide him with amnesty and he'll return the rest of those documents and you can go on with your secrets. But the general, this head of the NSA, no, he didn't want to do that. He presented Snowden as a murderer. He said, this is like a man who takes 50 hostages and kills 10 of them and says, if you will give me amnesty, I'll release the other 40. Snowden, a murderer. Are you insane, pal? You got a guy that's insane, that's literally irrational at the head of the NSA, and the 60 Minutes journalist isn't capable of saying, wait a minute, you didn't kill anybody. He didn't do anything that led to anybody's death. He didn't advocate violence. He didn't do this as a scheme to make money, to ransom, to hijack individuals and to kidnap them for ransom. Your analogy is perverted. And then he said, the general, I think that people ought to be held accountable. And yet this general swore an oath to defend the U.S. Constitution, and his agency is in direct violation of the Fourth Amendment, unreasonable search and seizure. yet he doesn't want to be held accountable. The man that he reports to, James Clapper, deliberately, knowingly, purposefully lied in his sworn testimony to Congress. It's perjury. He doesn't want him held accountable. What a hypocrite. And yet 60 Minutes was incapable of responding to any of these statements with a sane perspective. He said that the NSA was necessary because we need to spy on Americans' enemies, the terrorists in the nation states. Now, if you don't know that 99.9% of terrorism around the world today is perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims, and you can't say Muslims, then you're wasting your time. You're not in the intelligence business. You're in the stupidity business. And the Muslims that wished us harm are not nation states. The only nation state that is Islamic that as a state wishes us harm is Iran. And Americans' lack of intelligence is what caused us to invade Iraq and to make Iran our enemy. Moreover, it is the malfeasance of America's intelligence community, particularly the CIA, that made Iran an enemy by what we did with the Shah and with the Ayatollah. It is our intelligence community that created this enemy. The terrorists, those who wish us harm, are not nation states. Moreover, there is no nation state that is our enemy anymore. These folks are living in the past. It's as if they're still fighting the Second World War, where enemies carried flags and wore uniforms. They actually said that there was a BIOS attack that was perpetrated by China that they stopped, and that China's overt intent was to bring down every computer in the world. Now think about that. Think about how stupid that is. And yet they were presenting that as, you ought not be angry at the NSA, because look it, we saved America. That was their agenda by speaking about it. And yet the journalist from 60 Minutes didn't say for a second that if China were to bring down a global attack on all computers, not only would they lose control of their own country, not only would they bring financial ruin on themselves, China is the world's leading manufacturer of products. If they were to bring down the world's computers, they would have no customers. Their economy would be in shambles. There is a 0% possibility that China aims to bring down Wall Street, where they are substantial investors, or any other mass destruction of computers. And this notion is like Dianne Feinstein saying, yeah, you ought not be concerned about the NSA because look at the David Headley example. We spared America a terrorist attack through these processes when the absolute opposite of that was true. They then went to their nation states as enemies and showed this room of code breakers, and then this file cabinet that they referred to as the Ark of the Covenant. Breaking and entering is what this is. This means that America breaks codes so that they can break into and enter the secret rooms of nations around the world. If a business did it, the executives of that business would be thrown into prison. The government does it. They're proclaiming it as a good thing. There is no nation that wants America destroyed other than the nation of Iran. And we made Iran the way that they are. He was asked a direct question about hacking the ISPs, and the journalist, of course, did not do his homework, and therefore he played right into the sleight of hand, where he talked about the NSA, asked if the NSA had hacked into their facilities. And, of course, the NSA didn't hack into their facilities. They're given a pipeline directly into the facilities. But instead, hijacked communications on the fiber optic networks that connect facilities. And anybody that's done their homework, if you scan the news each day, as I do, to participate for this program, as somebody who's in the business of presenting news ought to do, you'd know that. And yet this man denied that they had done so. The pretty man in the nice military uniform, when in fact all you'd have to do is to challenge his credibility, is point out what they actually did. Couldn't do it. It is interesting also that, as I have shared on many occasions, that if you want to know what America spends in the military, you have to combine its military, its CIA, and its NSA operations together. And today you should also combine almost all of Homeland Security, because it's run like a military operation. That the vast majority of those shown in the NSA, leading the NSA in its top briefings each day, are military. They're wearing military uniforms. And when you recognize that all of these apparati are part of the military nature of this nation, the militant nature of this nation, then we go back to the realization that America's military isn't just larger than the next 10 combined, it's larger than the rest of the world's combined. In all of the time that I have witnessed 60 Minutes, I have never seen a more pathetic, a more misleading, a more prejudicial review than what they did of the NSA. This is an organization that is grossly out of control, that is stealing information, that is spying on average Americans, that is confiscating information on people around the world who have done nothing to deserve that scrutiny. And if their purpose was to foil Islamic terrorist attacks, you don't need an NSA. They aren't communicating in a means that the NSA is designed to thwart. All you need is somebody to go to their websites, to read their books, the Quran and Hadith, and you will understand who they are and what they wish to do. The whole purpose of the 60-minute puff piece for the NSA was to convince Americans that there was a boogeyman out there and that they ought to continue to forfeit their wealth and their freedoms, to have their government protect them from all of those boogeymen. Yes, you still got to be worried about those godless commies, even though America is more communist now in its economy than is China. You have to be wary of those militant Cold War Russians, even though America is by far, by more than 10 times more militant than Russia is or ever was. Yes, the world needs a boogeyman if you're going to constrain people's freedoms, if you're going to curtail their freedoms, if you're going to steal their wealth. But as our founding fathers have said so often, a nation that surrenders liberties for security deserves neither, gets neither. There is a boogeyman out there. You'll find that boogeyman in Washington, D.C. The eye of the boogeyman is the NSA. It needs to be shut down. The U.S. military needs to be shut down. This last 15 minutes of the 60 Minutes program, last 15 minutes of the program, was devoted to the cops. It began with a little boy picking the next cop pope and all of the religious wackos going crazy. that one bearded old man was chosen over two other bearded old men. Talk about the interview of the Copt Pope, and he said, yes, it's tradition.
Yeah.
Everything in religion is tradition. That's why the second thing on the list that Yahweh asks us to walk away from is traditions of these natures, you know, from our the societal influences. Religious tradition is a very bad thing. It creates groupthink. It's not even groupthink. It's group response. There's no thinking involved. It replaces thinking. The realization in the program showed that some 70 cathedrals were burned in Egypt just recently, with members of the Muslim Brotherhood going absolutely berserk. Of course, they said they were shouting, God is great, when you can hear them shouting in the background. They're shouting, Allahu Akbar, meaning Allah is older and greatest and biggest. They showed the cops saying that they did not understand, they couldn't figure out why the Muslims hated them so much, as if the cops had never bothered to read the Quran or Hadith. And, of course, the person doing the interview couldn't provide any comment, couldn't even add anything, didn't say, have you read the Quran? Have you read the Hadith? Have you looked at the history of Islam? Have you considered what happened to any country when Islamic fundamentalists took charge? Yahweh asks us to walk away from our country, and the reason is that you do not want to stand with corrupt men. Well, the new pope of the Copt Church stood with General Sisi when he pressed for his military coup over the Muslim Brotherhood. It was unbelievably moronic for him to do so, but he did it. And so the Muslim Brotherhood and all of their riots post-coup are blaming the Copt Pope and the Copt Church, and therefore are on a genocidal rage against Copt Christians. Don't stand with your military. Don't stand with your politicians. Stand apart from them. He brought this hell on his own people. Now, did he corrupt the Muslims? No. But he gave them a license, a reason to annihilate his people and to burn their churches to the ground. It was stupid in the extreme. And it's not stupid in the sense of, you know, there are things that you will do in life that will endanger yourself and often those that you care about. But they're for a good reason. This was for a horrible reason. To stand with those who had led a military coup. And just think of this. The U.S. is paying Egypt billions of dollars a year to be an ally. And yet the people of Egypt are trying to annihilate the Christian community. Something to think about if you stand with America. The senator from Arizona, a man who, unfortunately, I've had in my home, whom I know, John McCloud. You may know him as John McCain. He thought that he would use taxpayer money to fly over to the Ukraine and to say, America stands with you. Now, John McCain may. Some Americans might. Most Americans are clueless as to what's happening in the Ukraine. And those who know why Vladimir Putin referred to the uprising in the Ukraine as a pogrom, don't stand with them. You know, it's why I don't stand with America. It's why I would encourage everyone listening to this program, whether you are in New Zealand, Australia, Great Britain, Canada, the United States, anywhere around the world, don't stand with your country. I won't stand with mass murderers and rapists of Jews. And the pogroms in Ukraine are fresh. They were perpetrated in the last century and throughout much of the last century. Hundreds of thousands of victims. Now, I don't care if they're rapists and murderers or Jews or Christian or Muslim. Doesn't matter to me. I don't want to stand with them. As for me, kumbaya, I'll stand with Yah. And to stand with Yah, one has to stand away from religion and politics. You know, John McCain, you are a very, very bad man. Evil to the core. Rotten to the core. Everything you say and stand for is actually in opposition to what is good. I'm embarrassed at having once had you in my home. I'd like to speak on another subject before we turn to the news, abomination. Yes, it's called Obamacare, but there's nothing caring about it. This weekend, we were dealing with the fact that our youngest son received a letter from his health provider that said that his current policy was no longer compliant with the government and therefore it would be canceled. Now, he was a reasonably healthy young man, a graduate student in college, and was paying $100 a month premium. Had a $500 deductible on his insurance, and had everything covered that he wanted covered. Darn good policy. That policy he can't have anymore. And so as we searched for the most comparable policies to what he had, we found, first of all, that all you can have is what Obama says you can have. If you don't want drug intervention, too bad, you're going to pay for it. If you don't want care for AIDS, too bad, you're going to pay for it. Yeah, substance abuse, you're going to pay for it. Yes, because the government has become fascist. It's in the business of controlling what private enterprise can do. And so the closest policy that we could find, the monthly premiums were over $300 a month. It's a 400% increase. Not a 4% increase, not a 40% increase, a 400% increase in the monthly premiums. And the deductible was three times $1,500. That's affordable, isn't it? You know, the notion of the Affordable Care Act was articulated in the Washington Post, which said that, you know, that what Obama should have done is created a much more massive penalty for those who don't have insurance. Right now it's $95 if you choose not to insure. And the Washington Post said the whole solution to Obamacare is to hugely increase the penalty for those who don't buy into the program. It's very much like the Torahless one is going to do in the during the tribulation. You either buy into my program, go along with my program, or I'm going to penalize you. So you either comply with government or you're penalized by government. You don't have any freedoms anymore. You don't have the freedom to say, no, I don't want health care. Not without penalty from your government. You don't even have the choice of what kind of health care you'd like to have. The government's going to choose for you, has chosen for you. You can have their form or no form at all, in which case you're penalized. The Washington Post also said, you know, it's laughable to say that this is a nationalization of the healthcare industry. Of course it's not. These buffoons who write for the Washington Post don't understand the difference between communism and fascism, and the fact that in reality, in practice, there is no difference at all. They are different sides only of the same coin. The country does not have to take over health delivery and health insurance to be in absolute control of health delivery and health insurance. The government doesn't want to be in the business and can't be in the business of providing hospitals and providing doctors and providing insurance. Why do that? Because they're bankrupting those businesses. Why would you want to be that which you yourself are bankrupting? No, they're just total and complete control of them. You can only play if you play through our marketplace, only offer your product through our marketplace. You can now no longer have any stipulations on your product. You have to give it to everyone. You can't say, wait a minute, but if I don't want to give the product to somebody that I know is going to cost vastly more than they're paying, that's too bad. I want to offer different products. My customers have chosen what products they want, and you're saying, no, I can only offer the government's chosen product. That's right. Total and complete control. It's fascism. It is an abomination. And this nation goes along with it as if the only problem was the broken website. Just wait until the second shoe drops on abomination. The first shoe was the limited number of Americans who are personally and individually responsible, who pay for their own health insurance. They've all been abused. They are all now facing tripling of their premiums and tripling of their deductibles for policies that they do not want. But what's going to happen when these government mandates, these government control systems are applied to business? And now the largest insurer of Americans, businesses, are forced to either let people go, have their employees cover the majority of the cost of their insurance, or offer them insurance with deductibles that are $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 and more. As a matter of fact, many of these policies that we looked at to keep the premiums within 50% of where they previously were, for a family, the deductible, your insurance won't even start paying anything until you paid a deductible of $10,000 to $15,000 a year. And that's what businesses are going to begin to do. Otherwise, lay off people or take them to less than 20 hours a month. What's going to happen when the second shoe falls and the business mandate of abomination comes into effect next year? Speaking of not standing with the nation, America has long stood with Pakistan. Pakistan, like Egypt, is one of the nations that America bribes to be an ally, so that we stand with Pakistan. Well, a friend sent me this story on, it's out of Wikipedia, on the Pakistan military, the very military that America provides $4 or $5 billion a year to keep in power. During 1971, that wasn't all that long ago, during the Bangladesh War for Independence, the Pakistani military and supporting Pakistani militias, because almost every militia, almost every terrorist group in Pakistan was founded by, is armed by, and is controlled by the Pakistani army. So this reads, members of the Pakistani military and supporting militias raped between 200,000 and 400,000 Bangladeshi women in a systematic campaign of genocidal attacks. Think of that. The military and supporting Pakistani terrorist groups, interrelated Pakistani terrorist groups, in 1971 raped between 200,000 and 400,000 Bangladeshi women. And we fund this military. The United States, the biggest supporter of the Pakistani military. Scholars have suggested that the rape was used to terrorize both the Bengali-speaking Muslim majority and the Hindu minority of Bangladesh. The rapes caused thousands of pregnancies, births of war babies, abortions, incidents of infanticide, I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but where you give live birth and you immediately kill the child. and, of course, suicide. It led to the ostracization of the victims because in an Islamic country, the woman who is raped is considered the guilty party, not the perverted bastard that raped her. It is recognized as one of the largest occurrences of wartime rape any time ever recorded in history, worse than what occurred when the Imperial Japan raped Korean and Chinese women, even Filipino women. It only ended when the forces from India intervened. And for the longest time, America was India's enemy. The nation that stopped the rapes, we were foes with. The nation that perpetrated the rapes, we were allies with. There's a lot of reasons that we ought to be opposed to Islam. There's lots of reasons that we ought to be opposed to our nation. But the abuse of women is high up on that list. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This line is interesting regarding the Pakistani military and their allied Islamic terrorist organizations and their propensity to rape hundreds of thousands of Bangladeshi women. Doing so deliberately as orders from above to terrorize the population into submission. Initially, India claimed its intervention was on humanitarian grounds, but after the UN rejected this argument, India claimed intervention was needed to protect its own security. However, the United Nations, of course, was wrong. They're usually wrong. The reality is that the United Nations is heavily influenced by Islam, in bed with Islam. The rapes were brought to an end when the Indian troops arrived. The United States, of course, condemned India, but what India did was moral, was just, was actually beneficial. There are times when military can be used when there is no chance that you can make a situation any worse. I had America intervened when the Sudan was, the Islamic government of the Sudan was perpetrating genocide on 2.5 million Christians and animists. There is no way we could have made the situation any worse. Well, despite the Pakistani government's attempts to censor news during the conflict, reports of atrocities did filter out, attracting international media and public attention, drawing widespread outrage and criticism. And yet, it's not something that's significantly reported in the United States. When the United States debates whether or not we should continue to provide billions of dollars of aid to Pakistan, particularly to its military, no one bothers to deal with this. If you don't know history, then you'd not understand why you do not want to stand with the United States government because of the scum that it chooses to stand with. This is an unrelated story, but for those who were looking at the news last week, you noticed that the heaviest snowfall ever recorded in December fell across Jerusalem in Israel. It is interesting that the nation has been locked in a deep freeze for most of the last month. For the last 3 years, worldwide temperatures have fallen. We devoted a number of programs showing that there is no aspect of global warming that is as a result of human activity. And that between 1,200 and 1,500-year cycles of cooling and warming have occurred on this planet for as long as we can trace events literally millions of years back. And that even during the time of recorded history, we find a cooling period that was synonymous with the Greek rise to power, a warming period that coincided the Roman rise to power, a cooling period that transpired during the Dark Ages when Rome fell, a warming period that was called the medieval warming period, then the little ice age that took place following it, a cooling period that ended around 1850 to 1875, which is why glaciers have begun to retreat since that period of time, because we've entered the next warming phase. These phases last anywhere from an absolute minimum of 300 to 350 years on the shortest part of the cycle, up to about 750 to 800 years on the longest, averaging between 600 and 700 years in duration, which means we are 400 to 600 years away from the end of this warming cycle. Now, it is true that since 1875 through about the mid-1990s, the Earth did warm ever so slightly, and consistent with these mega cycles, having nothing to do with man. But over the last 3 years, the Earth has cooled, which says there is something to say about human influence, perhaps. That our influence on the world isn't warming it, but in fact, cooling it. It is something to think about as the snow falls on Jerusalem. Unfortunately, the picture that brought that story to us was of the Dome of the Rock.